was like when it went to the last one.
The regular one or the special?
On the special.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on that page C. So we don't count Summer's vote. Is it so when it goes motion carries 5-0, we don't count her even though she's a yes?
Correct. Yeah.
She's, okay. Yeah. But then see on that other one on the highlight, see how you have this.
3, 4, 5. Oh, I put 7 in there.
Uh-huh. So. And then there's that other statement right here. Let's see. There's one more on the bottom. Oh, right there. Roll call. Vote for board president. And see, it's not board president.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll vote on them separately.
Okay.
So it's just C and adjournment.
Okay.
That's the only
thing. Adjournment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's see. Did Carlene online?
No.
I don't think so, unless she's with Kurt. Kurt is online.
Harlan? Did he make it? I know he's traveling.
Is he going to Anchorage?
He's in Ellsworth, I think.
Oh.
He called my house earlier. Thanks. My glasses are for reading distances. We have who's Brenda or Rita?
Hi, Mom. This is Rita.
Hey, Rita. Hey. Is Brenda in the King Cove conference room or the King Cove room? No? Okay, thumbs down. I see the thumb. See, you scooted out of the way too.
I'll text her. She said she would make it.
And we don't have quorum.
3, 4. Rita's on.
Okay.
We have 4. Okay. Quorum.
Yep.
Okay. Four. All right. Well, we're going to get Brenda will sign on or show up.
Mm-hmm.
We called the meeting to order at 6:33 p.m. Can you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please, Cheryl.
Harlan.
Excuse.
Brenda. And she is not present. Hillary.
Here.
Carla.
Here.
Rita.
Here.
Rayette.
Here.
Carlene. Not present. We have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. Let's start with the King Cove room. Looks full.
Roll call. Or who's here? Go ahead. Start with you.
I'm Noah Roberts. I'm a senior at King Cove High School.
I'm Emma Slater. I'm also a senior at King Cove High School.
I'm enough too.
I'm Kaylee Slosen. I'm a freshman at King Cove High School.
And I'm Sierra Rosillian. I'm a senior at King Cove High School.
I'm Lynette.
I'm Jager.
And then Fanny Jill. Paul is here. He's just grabbing a charger for his computer. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. Who do we have online?
See, we have KSDP, Amy Eubank, we have Rita Zutek, we have James Doty with BDO, Hillary Seifert, Dave Nielsen, Austin Roof, and Kurt Hegegeorge. And then here at the district, we have myself, Cheryl, and Michael Franklin.
Thank you.
Nobody's on from Accutan?
No.
False test. Oh,
Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I get an approval of the agenda, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Next is the approval of minutes. October 5th, 2023, regular meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the October 5th, 2023 regular minutes.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Rita.
Yes.
Rayette.
Yes.
Carla.
Yes.
Hillary.
Yes.
Motion carries.
And October 17th, 2023 special meeting minutes.
I have a correction on C, roll call, and then I have a correction on adjournment, 7-0.
I would entertain a motion to accept the meeting minutes with the corrections noted.
I move.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita? Rita? Ooh. Hillary?
Yes.
Let's see if she's still online. She's still there. Oh, yes. You're
Sorry, my mute would not unmute. Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Next is public comments on agenda items. Are there any public comments on agenda items in King Cove? None? Okay, thank you. How about online? Is there anybody online who has a public comment on an agenda item? Okay, hearing none. Next on agenda is student reports. I'm thinking maybe we have a couple student reports in King Cove. Okay. Okay, you guys are up.
Hi, I'm Sierra again, and this is.
Sorry.
I'm Emma. And we're here to report back on OSSOC, but first we would like to thank the ABSD School Board for giving us the opportunity to attend Fall OSSOC in October. Cadence, Emma, Ms. Newton and I traveled to Fairbanks and stayed in West Valley High School. We had the opportunity to meet with students from all over the state. There were nearly 400 students across six regions in attendance. During the conference, our day started super early and ended very late. During those times, we were attending both region meetings and general assemblies. At the general assemblies, we debated and voted on resolutions from other schools. We also learned how to properly run a meeting.
Nice and loud.
Other OSSOC activities, including getting to explore the Wood Center at UAF, while other students participated in different activities. The school also hosted a dance and a movie night. We also went on and participated in activities during our travel to and from OSSOC that included taking a tour of the UAA campus, helping Sierra and I cross some life hills off their list, like getting, we got new photo IDs and I got a bank account. And we cheered on Sandpoint and King Cove volleyball teams at the Women's Christian Tourney. And we even got to help work at the Barefoot Inn when we were weathered in. Overall, experiences help us get out of our comfort zones and grow as leaders. OSOG showed us that students actually do have a voice and they should always fight for what they want. One resolution that was brought up at OSOG was longer passing periods, and we brought the resolution back to our school. The student council is currently working on it. We all enjoyed the student government experience OSOG also gave us and would definitely like to attend in the spring if possible. Thank you again to the school board for helping make this trip possible. We hope your support continues as it helps encourage our students to participate in student council and grow their leadership skills to bring back to our school and communities.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you very much. That's a great report. Does anybody have any questions for them? Hearing none. Do we have one more report? Good job.
I'm Noah again.
Hi. This letter's to you guys. We would like to start off by thanking you for sending Noah, Summer, and I to the YLI conference in Anchorage. The conference was held at the Hilton Hotel with over 100 students from Alaska.
At this conference, there were multiple workshops held throughout the days. Some of the workshops included how to run an effective meeting, discussions on salmon conservation, ways to cope and process strong emotions, and just so much more.
There were many guest speakers at the conference. The first guest speaker was Liz Sunnyboy she was an elder from St. Mary's. Liz told us stories from her youth and told us to always help others in need. Another guest speaker was Nick Hansen, the Eskimo Ninja. He told us that you can always find a leader in anyone.
We were pleased to meet board member Hillary Smith and superintendent Mr. Franklin, as well as get a chance to talk with them about our school district. We also talked to board members of other school districts about important lessons in schools.
The information we learned is something we can carry with us back into our school and communities. We learned that being a leader any and every student can make a difference if they're persistent enough. Thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you, you guys. Great reports. Next is board report.
I did mute someone who was on. I don't know who it is, though.
Fanny, maybe?
Fanny was here.
Harlan here, joining late.
Oh, Harlan. Okay, thank you, Harlan.
This is Brenda. I'm sorry I'm late. Had an emergency.
Okay. So Harlan is here and Brenda is here, 6:43.
Okay, thank you.
Next is our board report.
Are they done? Fanny didn't say anything?
Are you guys King Cove or is that everything or did you have... Yeah. 1 minute. Okay.
1 second, at the mercy of the board, please. Ms. Newton wanted to make one more point about the trips that she has to share with you guys.
Nothing major, just that I finally sent the physical reports to Cheryl, and they did include some pictures from the trips. I will be getting those to Paul as well, so I took a million, but it was like finally to get them onto paper. So you guys might be getting them a little later, but they're pictures of everything the kids did during the trip, including some ABSD. Sandpoint and Kinko pictures together as well. So I just want to make sure you guys get a chance to see those.
Awesome. Thank you, Fanny. Bye. Okay. Next up is Hillary.
All right. Well, before the kids run off, I'd like to thank Emma and Noah for a wonderful time in Anchorage. Emma, Noah, and Summer, they represented our school district very well. They did an excellent job there. I'm very proud of them. And Fanny Jo, thank you for everything that you do with our students. She's a great person to have as a chaperone. And then, so the first thing I wanted to start off is on Thursday, we started our conference. We have 53 school districts in AASB. Out of the 53 school districts, 47 attended this conference. 90 students attended the conference. And on Thursday, when we went in there, it started at 8:30. The first question they asked us on Thursday, what is one way your district is partnering for student success? So we all had to sit there and discuss that at the table. And then when we were sitting there talking, we did AI, artificial intelligence. And the guest speaker, he was from, I don't know, was he from Oregon or somewhere? Or maybe, yeah, I don't know where he was from. He wasn't from Alaska. But anyway, the first question he asked us was, what we knew about ChatGPT. Now, I sat at a table with five of us, and out of the five of us, two of them had it on their laptops. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. So when he was sitting there talking, he was telling us about how you can put this on your computer and how it helps you, and all your information goes into this big computer base. Well, there's a lady sitting at our table, and she pulled up her acceptance policy from their board policy, and she put it on her laptop, and then she put it into the ChatGPT, and she put in there, add to policy ChatGPT in it, and it just brought a whole bunch of information. And so she got a couple more pages. So she narrowed it. She said, only show me the AI. Oh, she wanted to add AI into the policy. Only show me the additions of AIs. So then it did bullet points and all the stuff that it added into the policy that was on artificial intelligence. And it was pretty amazing. And then we had another lady at a different table who didn't hear of it like I did. And he's up there talking to us about it. She downloads it on her phone and then she types in it for it to type up a policy for AI. And then so the guy said, okay, I want to hear the points. And then she read all the points that it put that what should be in that policy. But this will write anything for you. This will work for school work plans, essays for kids. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I was amazed with this. And then on the June Memorial, they raised $21,275 for scholarships that will help 14 students within, you know, anybody whose school district is in AASB, they'd be able to apply for that. So they raised enough money for 14 students. And then we had a student panel. And I just want to go and go over some of the questions on the student panel. It says, what do you think will help students succeed? They said, encouragement, having one-on-one with the teachers. Give support to students. Example, mental health, teacher and staff to listen to the student. Support, and number four was support in your life, teachers at home. It builds you up and you feel better. Number five, community engagement. Elders in our school provide students with culturally relevant education. We deserve, and then they also said, we deserve more funding for the now and the future. And then the next question was, what prevents, in your opinion, why students are not succeeding? And then one of the students says, lack of relevant information. Another student said, lack of engagement. Then another student said, lack of awareness, options, different electives in our school, different resources in our school. And then the last one was mental health. And they said that in our school districts, we need more mental health for all of our students. So it was really interesting. This conference, we did a lot of interaction with the students, which is really nice. And the student panel, they did a good job and they just went around and asked questions. And then we had our round tables where we had our students there. And after sitting at my round table with the three different students I had from different school districts, I think we're doing pretty good, even though we're short of teachers. The stories those students were telling me, what happens in their school with the bullying and kids not wanting to learn and the disruptions that they have, it was really sad. And it's hard to believe that that goes on in different school districts. But it was a very good conference, and I just want to thank the board for letting me attend. And it was very informational. I enjoyed the interaction with the students. They don't do the Saturday banquet anymore. And then they do different activities with the students now in the evening instead. So like Thursday night, the students got to meet Nick Hansen. Friday night, they did NYO with Nick Hansen, the Eskimo Ninja. And then Saturday, they did karaoke. So they got to do a bunch of different things at the conference, which was really nice. I think our students had a really good time, and they did really good. So thank you. That is my, oh, and one other thing I wanted to let you know. Did you guys know that Trident Seafood Partners is started a program in partners with ABTECH? I did not know that until I sat at ABTECH's table. And Trident is sending their workers into ABTECH to train them. And they have to sign this contract. Trident pays for everything for them to attend there, to train them to do different things and, you know, different jobs. And they pay them a wage, pay for everything for them there. And they have to sign a contract where that they'll work for Trident for at least 5 years when they're done with their ABTECH.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Oh, and then I just wanted to remind all the principals that Spirit of the Youth Award, that the deadline for that to nominate a student or anybody, there's different things. You can go online and go to spiritofyouth.org, and there's different categories where you can go and recognize a student, and it's for ages 12 to 19, and the deadline is coming up on that. Seemed like it was on the 30th, but I don't see
November it. Or December.
I think it was November. How come I don't see it here on the pamphlet? But there's different things that they can go and nominate a student for. And they said that they take all of them, they read them all, and they take them very serious. But they said that if a parent goes and does paperwork and stuff for their own child, they don't really do that when it's a parent that recommends it, does their child. All right.
December 31st.
December 31st. Okay, December 31st. So we still have a month to go. If you guys have any students in your schools that you want to go and fill out paperwork for. Thank you.
Thanks, Hillary.
Awesome.
Here's information if you guys want to read stuff.
Anybody have any questions for Hillary? I think it's interesting that the students are now saying we need some mental health. The students are saying that. That's really powerful because as students, and especially teenagers, that's not something they generally would be saying. You know, we recognize we need help, and it would be nice to have somebody to talk to. So it's interesting that they're the ones speaking up because we can say it, but now they're saying, you know, I mean, we know that it would be nice to be able to put counselors, mental health counselors in all our schools, but
or even our all our communities.
Right? Yeah. The students up on stage were talking about it, and then the student and the when we're at our tables are also talking about it.
That speaks loudly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next is the superintendent's report.
Well, that is a great but somewhat unfortunate segue into the start of my report. Okay, a lot of King Cove pictures in this report. I got to visit there this month. So just Thanksgiving, I want to just say publicly how thankful I am to be here. I think a little bit of what Hillary had said about meeting other school boards and other districts and other students at in Anchorage, it just made me recognize even more just how great we have it here, how great our community is, and just how much more thankful I am to be here. I hate to compare us to others, but when I do, I'm even more happy to be here. So great time. This is the unfortunate segue that I was getting to with the mental health. So in my EMS work, I get reports from the state and recently the annual Alaska Vital Statistics report came out, the 2022 report came out. And unfortunately, it says what we all already knew, and it lines up with the comments of the kids and mental health concerns at YLI, and it aligns with the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And it all says, again, what we already probably know, and that's use of unhealthy things like e-cigarettes is on the rise, exponential rise with our kids. And unfortunately, the stats around mental health, which are illustrated over here, are also have been on the rise for the last couple of years and spiked. What you'll notice here is that this is actually 2019 numbers. That's the most recent they have. So a lot of people are blame COVID or the pandemic for being the source of this increase in mental health challenges. But we have this data that shows 2016, 17, 18, 19, it went up, and then the pandemic made it worse. The curve went exponential with the pandemic, but it's been a growing issue for years. To the point now, I think you said it well, Red, it's surprising when adolescents are asking for that kind of help when they're normally shy or want to be more, internal about those things. So it's something we really need to look at as a priority in our district. And that's why I introduced the MARCH acronym for work that we're already doing, already have been doing for years in this district. So I just want to review, because I'm going to continue to organize my reports in this way. MARCH, coming out of the EMS world, but used now for the mental health world. MARCH is the acronym that helps us remember the things that are healthy steps towards stronger mental health and resilience: a positive mindset, autonomy or agency, building relatedness in our communities, competence in our individuals, and then that all happens with positive daily habits. So a lot of great games and community activities in the last month. And that's really, when we look at things that build resilience in our kids, the number one thing is community connections and relatedness. So that was really awesome to experience. So the first is mindset. I talked before about, distilling the current strategic plan. It can really be distilled down to reading and resilience. And so that's where, if we want to sum up the two biggest initiatives, that's how we're going to frame it. A lot of the challenges that were brought up are real challenges: the mental health challenges, the challenges of connections, the challenges of communication with students. One thing that initiative that I'm pushing, and our principals are helping with this, and our teachers are advising on it, is to rebuild our district-wide advisory program. We already have a lot of elements of this, and a lot of teachers individually are doing really amazing work in this way. So all I'm talking about is turning it into a system, so it's really district-wide and more universal. And these are kind of the three big elements of a successful advisory program. Our objectives would be building student agency, which is students become responsible for their own work, recognize what they need to do, and get counseling so that they know how to proceed independently. Building resilience and those skills we've talked about a little bit, and we will a little bit more. And then more communication between the schools, the parents, so that the communication of how a student's doing doesn't fall through the cracks. So that's one of the big initiatives we're working on. Along with building resilience is building autonomy or agency. I'm using those terms synonymously. both in our schools with our teachers, but most importantly with our students. And again, just to review, you know, autonomy or agency is really self-advocacy with students, students taking responsibility for their own self and feeling like they have some control in their lives, which I think is one of the things that we're seeing with the quote-unquote mental health crisis, that when we're looking at indicators, a lot of students talk about feeling like they've lost control or they don't feel like they have purpose in their lives. So building that agency is important. Building agency in our district-wide, though, so this is now moving at a district level instead of an individual level, things that, as a superintendent, I've been working on recently is policies and procedures in our district that make sure people have both independence and support. So one is, which doesn't sound as, you know, dynamic, but I think is really important, is our Title IX compliance. So that's something that's federal law that's required to make sure that we don't discriminate against anybody and we give everybody equal opportunity and access in our district, both staff and students. And so I think our district's doing a really good job of this. What we were lacking is just some compliance measures. So you'll notice the front page of our website, there's an equity notice at the bottom and just some links at the bottom directly on how one would make a complaint and who's in which specific positions if people have questions about equity or access. And that's just part of the federal laws that we have that clearly.
Is that the non-discrimination statement?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, which we already had, and I think we already follow really well. This is just a compliance measure where we just didn't have it posted where we should have it posted. And it wasn't as, you know, the steps weren't as clear. I also learned some things. I did a 2-day Title IX training that in a district our size, I thought I could fulfill every role. And it turns out I couldn't. So that's something I learned. And so I now am officially the Title IX coordinator, investigator, and informal resolution facilitator. But we have other administrative positions for people for the positions of decision maker and appellate decision maker. So that puts us in compliance as a district. So things that sometimes we forget about those compliance measures until something happens. So I was really glad I got a chance to do that training and get us up to date in that. And the board, with the board's help, we were looking at some other policies that I think are related to building autonomy, and ones around graduation requirements and diploma options. And you know, we had worked on that at the workshop today, and I'll chat with the staff later about building those. And then eligibility for students. So again, those are things we talked about at the workshop that, again, I think the purpose behind those policies is to make sure that we have equal access, equal opportunities for all of our students. Facilities update. That's another part of autonomy, in my opinion, that, you know, for our students and staff to have the freedom of autonomy, we have to have facilities that are adequate, that are safe, and that are inspiring. And so one thing I always do when I visit facilities is take a nice long walk around. I took a nice long walk around King Cove with Donnie and then with Paul, and added to my list of maintenance priorities. And part of that was that in this past month, our friends at the borough were able to train me, our new maintenance head here, Drayton Newman in Sandpoint, and then Austin on Maintenance Connect, which is the online to put in a work request. And that's the state requires that we have an online system for work requests, work orders. And so I think between that and the communication that I think we're improving with the borough manager, that we're getting to some maintenance projects efficiently now, whereas that had been kind of let go for a few years. So I feel good about those. I gave a bit of a longer pool update earlier today, and so I'm just going to briefly say that it's an extremely frustrating project. It is still leaking after all the work we've done. The good news is that our CIP proposal, grant proposal, is number 10 in the top 10 in the state right now. which puts us in a really great position to have it granted. We'll find out probably in February where we stand after all the appeals are made. And so we're confident that we're going to get that an extra $3.5 million, which will allow us to finish the pool project and finish the renovation of the locker rooms and lockers and other things at the Sandpoint School facility. Frustrating as it is that being top 10 on that CIP list helps us believe that we're actually going to be able to get it done.
Question before you move on.
Yeah.
I can't remember, was the King Cove Playground in that list of things, or is that separate?
It's not in that one. No, separate.
Okay.
So I'll need to.
I think that's a priority for King Cove.
Okay.
There's this, I would say that that's something that we need to try to put in a budget somewhere.
We can do that. It's on my list now. For those of you who haven't been to King Cove recently, there is a beautiful new slab of concrete out near the playground. I will say that for future great basketball competitions. So there are some improvements there, but the playground I'll check into. This is a little small for everybody to see probably, but I just wanted to show you this is the state CIP, the current grant list. So you can see us there with a pretty significant project at number 10. We were very pleased. And the state granted, you know, we make a request. The state can come back and say, okay, we'll put you on the list, but your request is, you know, 70% of your request. They followed up with 100% of our request and put us in the top 10. So that's really encouraging. This is just a great picture. Senator McCoskey and the crew. I'll put it up later if people want to find our kids in there. It was just super inspiring to be around, you know, leaders like Senator Murkowski, future leaders and current leaders like these kids. It's just, we have a one reason why I chose and continued to work in schools and love it is just that when you're, people will talk negatively about kids sometimes, when you're actually around them, it gives you hope. And so that was a really inspiring event. Relatedness is the R in the MARCH acronym. And of course, I've already mentioned this is, as far as building resilience, this is what studies show is the most significant, means to build resilience in people who have found success and experienced trauma. And so, you know, I feel really fortunate that I've been able to travel around the district and not just get to know people, but see all the great connections that are happening. So in the past month, I got to spend a week in King Cove, saw some great, I was really inspired by the volleyball games, not the games themselves, although I'm extremely impressed at just the level of talent and intensity, considering, you know, how small our communities are. I've been surprised at the level of athleticism. It's been awesome to see, but more so just how amazing it is that we have these kids who, you know, are literally related to a lot of the others, their competitors. And they have this wonderful balance of meeting each other like family when they get off the plane and interacting. And our kids integrate into the school in King Cove super easily. The Sandpoint kids integrate into the school in King Cove. And then when the whistle blows, it's intense competition. And you would think that they're, I wouldn't say enemies, but, you know, intense rivals. Thank you for the language. And then after the game, they're celebrating, taking pictures together again. And, you know, it's just that balance is really unusual, exceptional. It's great to be a part of.
And when Kiko was here, they mixed it up and they played together. The teams were mixed too. So that's a lot of fun.
Outstanding.
We're able to do that. We've done that with basketball too a few times. It's fun to watch the great sportsmanship and the camaraderie that they all have.
And it's another thing that, you know, for those who don't get to travel as much as I do, it's an exceptional thing. And it is wonderfully unique about where we are. So
So it's, it was really great to see. And then, of course, I already mentioned that, you know, the AASB conference and YLI was a great experience. And then I got to sneak away for 2 days and go to the EMS conference while I was in Anchorage also, which was, for me, you know, personally was a great experience and got to learn a lot and hopefully learn things that I can bring back to the community here, maybe not directly to the school, but to the community. Upcoming, I'll leave tomorrow, hopefully catch a couple of volleyball games, and then we have a LASBO in Anchorage this week, and then I'll spend the next week in Falls Pass working on some challenges out there and get to see all the great work that the kids are doing out there also. Hillary, I don't want to say much more because you had such a great report, but AASB was a really inspiring time, mostly to see our future leaders, but there were a couple big things that were brought up that AASB was working on. And one was this increase to the BSA, and that affects mm-hmm. everybody around the state. So I just wanted to note that here. You know, if you look at the graph on the right, on the bottom there, it shows the teacher wages. It just shows some challenges we have in recruiting people that we didn't used to have. And it's funny, back when you look at where it dropped, that's when I started teaching in Alaska. So I kind of came, you know, when it was, you know, when we were still, it was still kind of a, that's not why I came. I had no idea about the pay, but I came for the snowboarding. But right there around 1998 is when the relative wages, you know, dropped. And part of the reason for that, or part of the challenges for that, obviously people don't go into teaching for money, but if we want to get the best candidates, we have to be competitive. Cost of living is higher up here. If we're trying to get people from down south, which isn't all we want to get, but if we want to get some people from down south, they're moving away from their families. And so we have to be able to offer at least equivalent wages, and hopefully more down south. That used to be an attraction to coming to Alaska. Now you can see based on this that it's just the opposite. You know, we're still above the U.S. average, but well below other Western states. And so that's not because wages have gone down. It's because wages have stayed the same. So basically the wages now are the same that I had in 1998 when I first came to Alaska. And the reason why that is because the BSA hasn't changed. You know, schools are not being funded anymore. And so what I like showing these two graphs together is the one on the upper left, the blue number on the bottom, or the blue line on the bottom is the current BSA. So, you know, you can see it's 5930. And that hasn't changed significantly for 12 years. The yellow line is that number inflation adjusted. So what you can see is that by school funding, and this is what was explained well in the AASB, school funding staying the same actually means school funding is dropping significantly. Because if it's not keeping up with inflation, it's actually lowering. So it actually would take, you know, $1,300 just to get our current BSA up to the inflation level. So there's a push to get that $1,300 plus BSA increase. The one thing I want to say about that is a $1,300 increase would not be an increase to the BSA. It would be making the BSA equal to what it was 12 years ago, inflation adjusted. And so I think $1,300 is not enough. The proposal being made by AASB, which I think was really powerful, was that BSA should increase with the inflation or should keep up with inflation, mm-hmm. which I think is an extremely reasonable request.
And that's what you guys will be doing in February when you go there.
Yes.
That's the main focus.
So I just want to, Renette, if people hear about this radical increase to the BSA, $1,300, it's really not a radical increase. It's just keeping up with inflation is all it is.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. So that was a big advocacy takeaway. And again, back to relatedness. We have a lot of, you know, great technology in our district and a lot of innovative programs. But, you know, when you see the little ones just playing outside on a cold, windy day and how much fun they're having together, like that's what it's still all about. Nothing's changed about, you know, what's really important in our schools. Retention and recruitment is another part of relatedness, bringing people into our district. And I just wanted to, reflect on this briefly. I've been doing a couple of handshake events. So most Wednesday evenings, I teach a class with Eastern Oregon University and Portland State University on the other days. And the reason I do that is that they don't realize I'm doing this, but it's a bit of a recruiting tool for us. So I meet dozens of students in their final year in education programs down south, and it's just teaching them a methods class is what they think they're getting out of it. And I think I do an okay job of that. But also what I get to do is talk up how great it is to teach in Alaska and specifically in our region. and in the past, that has been a really effective tool in other schools I've been in to sort of have people recruited before the recruitment season begins. And then I attended the NAU, the Northern Arizona Job Fair, virtually. And this is just an example of, it cost $200 to apply for it. I didn't have to travel, and I was able to meet, I really only met a dozen students, but I met a dozen, again, education students. And that's just another way that we can recruit and find candidates and not have to fly all over the world and spend a bunch of money to do it. So that was really the first event. I've gone to two of those events now, and that was the first that was education specific. So you might hear about me doing those more in the spring. Competence is another important part of building resilience, and that is to feel like people are growing and being challenged. And so just briefly, things that we're working on in district, the building leaders and I are working on rebuilding our evaluation systems. We have evaluation tools, but not really systems in place. And really, when I talk about evaluation systems, we're not talking about judging people. We're talking about reflecting on people's practice, giving feedback so that we can help make each other better. So we're building evaluation systems for certified and classified staff, and specifically working on evaluation systems for our activities and coaches so that we can also finally work on making each other better as activities leaders and coaches as well. And then, of course, we're starting with my evaluation process also, so I can practice what I preach there this evening. We had a great one-day teacher in service right before the Thanksgiving holiday. I started with a kind of a reflection on mastery learning and blended learning, which goes with our strategic plan. And then we had some great people come from the outside. Tammy from CORE, who we've had previously, do work on instructional practices with our upper grade teachers. And then we have a wonderful teacher from LYSD working on reading interventions with our lower school. And finally, the H of March is habits. And one of the most significant habits, the five habits are that lead to resilience: exercise, positive action, positive reflection, meditation. And the most significant is gratitudes. One of the gratitudes I have this month is the 10 wonderful different types of chili I got to eat while we had the massive chili cook-off and hosted by the volleyball team. Had a fundraiser chili cook-off while I was in King Cove. I'm not going to say I planned my trip purposely around the chili cook-off, but now that I know it's there, I definitely will be going there that time every year. It was fantastic. And then a couple specific gratitudes. First to Fanny Jo. I don't know if she's still there. Mm-hmm. I hope. Good. We have a lot of great teachers, but my opportunity to travel a bit with Fanny and see how she was with kids was just really inspiring. Just want to say that she was already on my list of wanting to send a gratitude to after seeing a couple issues of The Jive. I know people say, oh, it's the kids that are doing it. But I know as a teacher, if kids are producing something that professional and that great, it means there's a teacher behind there directing and making sure that they're inspired and editing. And The Jive really is a professional looking publication. And I know that it's the kind of thing that 20 years from now, we're going to be grateful we have it to look back on, as a time capsule of what King Cove is like during this period. So it's one of those things that's a class project. Kids are learning a lot, but it's also one of those things that's going to be really powerful for our community. there's that. She's the kind of person who sponsors things, who travels with kids. She's just one of those who there's just a lot of energy and excitement. Kids want to be in her classes, and it's not because they're easy. She has a lot of challenging, really, really hard things that she asks them to do. She puts them in environments that where they're out of their comfort zone, to you know, quote one of the kids. And we're just really lucky to have her. So Fannie Jo, thank you. And then I want to do a gratitude just for the school board in general. And again, I don't want to compare us to others, but I'm going to a little bit. When I talk to other administrators down south, and when I meet with other school board members and other administrators around the state, it's our relationship here. I know I'm new, so maybe it's the honeymoon period. Our relationship is unusual. I have a school board. I get to work with a school board that truly just wants things to be better for our kids. And there's really no other agendas there. And I think that's unusual. Again, I don't want to compare us, but I'm very grateful that we're really just focused here on improving our systems for kids. We're not always going to agree on things, but this school board allows me to do my job in that way. And then specifically, really inspired by Hillary, seeing her seriousness here and all that she does in our community is great. But when the school board members were asked to stand up, if they had been a school board member for a year, and then she stood up, and then they said, okay, stay standing if you've been a school board member for over 5 years. And then, you know, half the room sat down and she kept standing up. And then they said, okay, keep standing if you've been a school member for over 10 years. And then maybe, you know, half a dozen people were still standing and she was still standing up. And I was thinking, gosh, how long? And they kept going and going and going. And now there's four people left in the room standing up, and one of them is Hillary. And so I want to thank her for her 22 years.
I'm on my 22nd year, yeah.
Of service as a board member. I think maybe there were two old guys.
No, there was two guys. They said they were there for 35 years.
So you got a couple years to go. We'll expect you to get those years in, to be the last one standing eventually. But felt really like grateful and proud that, you know, to see that one of our board members had that much experience and still is fun and seems to enjoy the work. So thank you. All right. I was trying to be shorter this week. Sorry. I'll figure it out one of these days.
Awesome. Thank you. Brenda or Arlen, you guys have any questions for Superintendent?
Nope. No, thank you. All good.
Nope, none from Brenda. Anybody here? Carla, Hillary? Okay, thank you. Oh, and Rita, yeah, sorry, Rita. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, thank you for your report. And thanks, everybody, for all the work that they've been doing. Next is the business manager's report. Dave.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the school board, Superintendent Franklin. My report is in the packet, and I don't have anything to add to the report, but I would like to express my gratitude to Sherilyn, Cheryl, Austin, Hillary, and the superintendent, along with James Rolando and their team at BDO for all the assistance to get through the FY23 financial audit. There's so much that goes into it, and it's so nice to have it done. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I would entertain a motion to accept the current financial report.
I'll move to accept the current financial report.
Carla?
I'll second.
Motion made by Carla, second by Hillary. Roll call.
Brenda?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Reyes?
Yes.
Carlin?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up is new business, and we have the audit review and a department. Oh, I skipped over that. Sorry, guys. Activity report. Paul?
Good evening, members of the board, Superintendent Franklin, President McGlashan. Thanks for having me here tonight for my report. I don't have anything to add except for just one thing. When I was writing up my report for student activities, and I was going through my volleyball section, you know, I like to put a little bit about each student activity. And when I was shouting out, I can't believe I haven't mentioned it yet. When I was shouting out the Sandpoint girls volleyball team, who is now at the state tournament, ready to take on Birchwood on Thursday, I was so wrapped up in the team accolades of them taking down the first regional championship tournament, first place in school history, and their first berth at state as champions of the Southwest Conference, that I didn't put in that Ariana and Summer were honored as all tournament members of the team. So AUVC had three, two from Sandpoint, Ariana Hilton and Summer Wall, senior, and a junior from King Cove, Merriman Brandon. This team that's now at the state tournament is the result of years of hard work with that group of girls. They've been building that program for years, and I'm getting away from the habit of saying I'm proud of the kids when they have accomplishments like this, because I'm always proud of all of our kids. So I'm changing the phrase to I'm just over the moon happy for them. Because I know how hard they've worked to accomplish this goal. And that's just one of the things that student activities allows us to see is the propagation of just years of hard work that come out in just big days. You know, most of the days are mundane and the day-to-day doldrums of practice. And if days like they got to experience last Saturday when they made that state tournament berth. And now they're reaping the benefits, and I hope that they do the best that they can at state. They have a heck of a great chance as the number one seed in the Southwest Conference. So go Lady Eagles. That's all I had to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions?
Thanks for adding that. I noticed that right away, but I thought on the Alterney girls, I thought it was, Mary Mae Brandel, Morgan Gunderson, and Ariana Wilson. I didn't know Summer made it.
I'm sorry. I meant Morgan. Sorry. It was Morgan Gunderson and Ariana. Yeah.
Morgan Gunderson and Ariana. Thank you. And also, I'd like to thank our coach, Michael McGlashan. She's doing a wonderful job.
All right. Let's see. Next up, Hillary, special ed.
You have my report. I really don't have anything to add unless there are any questions.
Any questions for Hillary?
I'd like to thank Hillary. The in-services that I mentioned, although it's not officially under her duties, she was able to write grants that have brought in a lot of this professional development that we've had. So the people I mentioned who we brought in from the outside virtually this time were not only brought in through the grants that she wrote, but she also through her connections. And so she's brought a lot of the great competence building, a lot of the professional development directly to our district this year.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions? Appearing then. Thank you, Hillary. Austin? Are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, board. My report is in your packet. Questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Do we have any questions for Austin at this time? Hillary?
On your ongoing projects, are you getting like bids and then you're gonna bring forward to the board? Because I see you have the sound system on there again, and then
cameras for King Coven and cameras for the gyms and the large sites?
Yeah, so I kind of bring that in there. Just, I know that in the past there's been a couple of bids that have been brought forward, and maybe it'd be a good time for a workshop to discuss with the board and superintendent what kind of scale project we would like to, you know, instead of just kind of looking for things and then bringing them to you guys in these settings, and then they may not be what we're looking for as a board. It'd be good to understand from a financial side and then what the board would like to see. And so we can target the bids a little bit. I have met with people and found some more cost-effective choices for cameras and then sound systems as well. So there are other vendors we could look with that might be able to offer us a better rate. But I think it'd be good to discuss these projects since they are larger ticket items, so we can kind of scale out a budget and a desire for what we would all like to see.
Are we talking about cameras for the whole school in King Cove, that type of camera, like a camera system? Is that what?
So there's two different cameras that we need. There's been a discussion about cameras for security, which I know King Cove School has a strong interest in having and would benefit them. We have about four cameras at Sandpoint School, so it's a limited amount of coverage, but it does provide coverage in the most high traffic areas, which has been useful in the past. We could probably do something very similar for King Cove to at least cover the more high traffic locations. Another need would be, and it's not as expensive, but it is not a low cost, would be cameras for special events like basketball, volleyball, graduation, things like that. So we could provide a higher quality stream other than just Facebook Live or what we've done in the past.
Maybe something that's mounted and fixed more so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And the sound system, that's for school here or all schools?
Yeah, we're in the gym.
I think we requested a sound system last year.
He brought a bid to us, remember?
Okay.
So it hasn't been upgraded yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the bid that I brought to you guys, sadly, that came on, we were traveling that day. I think we were in an airport during the meeting, so I wasn't there to field questions. And that it was during the transition from Jack to Mike as superintendents as well. So I think it was a rough time for a bid, especially of that size, to come in. But we can probably look for a sound system that meets our needs, that doesn't have to be a fully installed sound system where you fly people out to do a wired deployment, but something that's better than what we have. That system's been going out since about 2018. So it is definitely time to come up with a solution, I think.
Right. When you're talking about having like a meeting to discuss this, is this...
Can it be one of our workshops?
Yeah, could we workshop it maybe? And maybe if you have some examples or costs or all of the above for us to kind of look at, and then we can go from there.
Absolutely. I think workshop would be a great opportunity if that's appropriate for the board and the superintendent, and I can come with perhaps multiple bids and then camera, like different items with different price points. And yeah, it would just help me a lot knowing what could be a feasible solution from the board's perspective, as well as from the finances of the school district, so we can target our bids.
I think it'd be nice to have both the principals there too, since and that's kind of affecting their schools the most, and that way they can have input on, especially like the camera system in King Cove, what they need. Kind of what I was thinking. So available during that time, I'd like them to be able to have some input on it. Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any for Austin? Rita, Harlan?
Not me.
Brenda? Okay,
thank you.
Brenda? Okay, thanks. Thank you, Austin.
Now we can
move into new business. The audit review and approval online. We have James. I can't remember James's last name, but
first name's James from BDO, to give us a report. Are you still there, James?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, thank you. Floor is yours.
So I meant earlier today, well, first of all, good evening, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to the meeting. Can't tell if the weather got any better because it's pretty dark outside your window. You know, I gave the report over the financial statements and the wrap-up document before. Let me know if you'd like me to kind of do a similar, to go through the wrap-up, if there was any specific questions you'd like me to address.
I think if you do your overview, kind of what you did at the workshop, will be sufficient.
Okay, great. Give me a second and I will share my screen. Let me know when you can see that.
It's up.
Okay, perfect. So this is the audit wrap-up document. This is the required communication between those charged with governance, which is the school board, and the auditors, which is myself, BDO. The first page here on page 3 just talks about the professional standards require this communication to be in writing. It states that on July 25th, 2023, we presented an overview that was our planning document that was sent along with our engagement letter to be formally engaged to perform the 2023 audit. Moving forward to page 5, so the status of our audit. So we have substantially completed our audit. We issued our audit reports on November 15th, which was the in time for the state filing, which is required by November 15th of each year. So the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable and not absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatement. And the scope and the work that we performed was substantially the same as what we had planned. So when we started the audit, there was no surprises. Everything that we were expecting to see is what we saw. The highlight is we issued unmodified opinions on the financial statements, on the government auditing standards, on the federal single audit, and on the state single audit. So there are multiple opinions that are a part of the financial statements, and all of those are what we call a clean, unmodified opinion. That's the highest level of assurance that you can receive from the financial statement audit. All records and information requested by BDO were freely available for our inspection. We feel we had complete access to everything we wanted to see, and management's cooperation was excellent. There is a ton of information that needs to be shared back and forth, especially as it relates to the samples for the state and federal single audits. Those are compliance audits. And so we really appreciate the support of your team, Dave and his team, for providing us all the documents, as well as just the back and forth and the communication and the response. It makes for an efficient and effective audit. So the results of the audit, we review your accounting practices, policies, and estimates. There was no new accounting policies adopted this year. There was none that were what we call material to the district. So therefore, there was no changes to your significant accounting policies. Your one significant accounting estimate is your recording of your proportionate share of the pension and other post-employment benefits, the assets and liabilities, whether there is an asset or an unfunded liability. You record your proportional share of the PERS and TERS plan. That is done by reviewing the audited statements from there. And you account for your share similar to all the other districts as well. One second. And then as part of the audit, if there was any corrected or uncorrected misstatements, those are items that we would discuss with you. So a corrected misstatement is if we identify an error, we would recommend that that amount be recorded. If it's material, that amount would have to be recorded in the financials, or we would have to change our opinion. And if that amount was not material and also not corrected, we could still issue a clean opinion, but we'd have to let you know that there was an uncorrected misstatement. So there was no corrected and no uncorrected misstatements. And really what this tells us is if we come in at the end of the year and we're performing our audit and we have no adjustments to the numbers, then it's our belief that the financials you're receiving throughout the year should be timely and accurate since we're not seeing any adjustments that need to be made under the audit. For internal control over financial reporting, we have to gain an understanding of your internal control as it relates to your financial reporting, as it relates to your state and federal single audit. As we reviewed those internal controls, we noted no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies. If we did, we would bring those to your attention and talk about how those could be remedied going forward. Additional communication. These are other areas that we just need to speak to, but you just want to hear a lot of no responses. So no significant changes to the planned audit strategy, no consultations with other accountants, no significant findings or issues during the audit, no disagreements with management, and once again, no significant difficulties encountered during the audit. Lastly, just want to reaffirm that myself, BDO, your entire engagement team are independent of the district, and this is what allows us to be your independent auditor. Are there any questions over the audit wrap-up document?
Any questions? Here, it sounds like there are none. We'd like to thank you very much, and thanks to Dave and Sherilyn and the team for the hard work they did, the audit every year. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to meet with you guys. Have a great evening, and if you need anything else, just let me know.
Hey, thanks, James. Okay. Action. We need to accept the audit, don't we? Mm-hmm. I'd entertain a motion to accept the audit.
I'll make a motion to accept the audit as presented.
Motion by Rita.
Second.
Second by Carla. Roll call.
Harlan.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Next is BP 6416.1, second reading. And this is the high school graduation requirements. Motion to put it on the table for the second reading. Okay. I heard somebody. Was it Rita?
Brenda.
Brenda. Okay.
I'll second.
All right. BP 6416.1, second reading. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Have roll call, Cheryl.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Harlan? Brenda?
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
So then do we have to, this is the one I'm always confused about. Now we have to approve it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, to adopt.
To adopt it. Sorry. It's a two-step process in one line, so that's why it confuses me. Okay. Do we have a motion to adopt the BP 6416.1.
Brenda, so moved.
Okay.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you. Next is Indian Policies and Procedures. They are in your packet. We need to approve them.
there a motion to approve the Indian policies and procedures?
Approve the Indian policies and procedures as presented.
And,
I'll second.
Roll call.
Rand?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carlin?
So, Marvin? I know. Carl. Oh. Yeah, that's what I thought. Harlan, Jerry got disconnected.
Oh, Harlan, we're waiting for your vote on the Indian policies and procedures. Do you approve? Yes. Okay, motion carries. Yep.
All right, thank you. Next is a review of 22-23 disciplinary data.
I can give a brief. I don't have it in front of me here, but we normally this is a large document for other districts I've been to. We had 4 entries on there. All data is important data, so our lack of data might be something to talk about. But I mean, usually when I look at disciplinary data, I look to make sure it, that we're not disproportionately suspending or expelling students of a certain ethnic background or students with disabilities. Really, with 4 entries, there's not enough data to analyze.
Okay.
The fact that we only had 4 entries says one of 2 things to me. One, which is what I'm going to believe in, is that we have a great system and great great kids and teachers who can, deal with things correctly.
Yes.
Of course, it could be interpreted another way that we're not documenting things, but I'm gonna stick with the former.
I'll agree with you there.
Okay, just out of curiosity, though. Whose job is it to collect the data, or where does the data come from?
Yeah, so
it's
an important entry. So ultimately, it falls on Cheryl's shoulders to Cheryl's.
Hillary Seifert is the one who they send it to.
To send it.
Mm-hmm.
Who sends it?
The principals, I believe.
Yeah. So, disciplinary data is collected in schools. It's documented in schools. The state asks for it every year, again for the same reasons I am. They're checking to make sure that we're not disproportionately harming kids of certain backgrounds, among other things. And then the report comes back.
Oh. So there were 4 incidents where there was
district wide. We had 4 reported disciplinary incidents that were recorded. So,
like suspension or something like that. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I should have started from the beginning.
Is that something that we've seen on our before? Maybe?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think your assessment's correct. We have a review to collect and some good data.
We'll stick with that.
Yep. All right. Any questions about that? Okay.
I have a question on the disciplinary actions that were taken. Were these any of the youth that were involved in high school athletics?
They were all within the school during the school day, the ones that I reviewed, the ones that I saw.
Right, but I mean, were any of them involved in extracurricular activities?
Oh, were the students involved in extracurricular activities? Is that the question? So the incident, yeah, the incidents did not occur during extracurricular activities.
So if you caught a child smoking or vaping or something, there'd be disciplinary action against that. And if they were signed their agreement to be in the extracurricular activities, that would showcase, right?
Well, Brenda, that's a really great question. And there, we do have procedures in our activities handbook that would, you know, where those disciplinary actions would extend into the extracurricular activities. I don't know. It does. This, the data we have doesn't show or didn't, you know, reference that, whether it, that it affected their extracurricular eligibility. But we have policy in that for.
Right. I know we have policy. I've been on the school board for 30 some years. So I just look back at there is different things that are happening around the state as far as extracurricular activities and substance use or misuse. Being a substance misuse and behavioral health administrator for Eastern Aleutian tribes, one of the things that is being looked at in the state of Alaska currently is how do we work with, because vaping has become, it was mentioned in your report earlier, has become such a big issue within the state of Alaska, that we're looking at ways that we don't, like right now, a lot of the policies reflect expulsion from school or suspending them for so many days. Sometimes school districts have in-school suspensions. And how can we make that more of an issue that makes the youth accountable, the parents accountable, and has a way to be able to teach this youth something about the vaping and what they're doing, what it does to their bodies. And so we are in the process of reviewing and an instructional aid that would assist with, say, a teacher in one of your schools getting trained. We would pay for the program. We would pay for what needed to be done if you did have a situation with substance misuse or abuse in your school staff with their student. And if their student had an issue, instead of expelling them, putting them on school suspension, which then they're out and about and having a lot of fun. And parents are wondering, sometimes they're working in their home. So this is being addressed right now within the mental health and the substance misuse side of things in the state of Alaska right now. And that's an issue that I'm on their board that's looking to address. So in the near future, probably in the springtime, I'll be bringing, I'll be stepping outside in a meeting of my role and presenting as myself from the program that I'm involved in at the state level and with my agency to be able to present on ways to be able to assist students and not so much suspending them from school, but how can we assist them in school instead of sending them out for 3 days or 5 days and then maybe taking away all their privileges from many things, that if we can teach them a way to look at what the substance that they're using in a way that changes their view, that it is not healthy and safe for them through education. That's, and we would, our agency would then pay for the district to be able to have a person get trained and be able to utilize that training with students if they need to.
That's powerful work, and I'm sure the restorative work and the resilience work happening in our schools, that would be in line with that for sure.
At looking, you know, at that, being able to see that data on youth every time we have a meeting, it's really powerful for us as a board, because the more you take kids away from education, the less education they have. So, you know, how can we do that in a way that's empowering for them? So that's something we're looking at. I'll be coming back to the board with that here in a probably couple months once our state committee comes together and decides the course of action.
Yeah, it sounds like it goes along with, like, when we're talking about moving away from being always so punitive about everything to how can we educate and support instead of punish. So, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Brenda. Okay, thank you for the information on the disciplinary data. Next, we have personnel, new hires. We have one new hire, Bethany Brandel, instructional aid in King Cove. We have a motion to approve. This is Hillary.
I'll second.
Is it Brenda?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Brenda, roll call.
Brenda? Brenda?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Harlan?
No.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, resignations. Oh, we have three resignations. James Daniels, instructional aide in King Cove, Brady Gatlin, instructional aide in False Pass, and Angela Bennett, teacher Sandpoint.
I'll make a motion to accept the resignations.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Public comments on non-agenda items. King Cove? Nothing? No. Okay. How about online? Is there anybody online who has a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, hearing none. board comments. Do we have any board members who would like to make some comments? Hillary?
Okay. First off, I'd like to congratulate the King Cove rookies on the Sportsmanship Award for volleyball. And I'd like to congratulate the Sandpoint Lady Eagles, and I wish them good luck as they're in state right now, getting ready to compete. And also, I just like to thank the students who went to AASB conference, and I hope they go tell all their friends what a good time they had, and more people will go and write essays and get involved. And then there's just a reminder to let everybody know that the question is out for the legislative fly-in for the students. We'll be taking two students from our schools to go to the legislative fly-in in February. So encourage your students to go and write an essay and send it in so they could go to Juneau and work their magic, because they want to hear from the students. They don't want to hear from us. So the students will make a big difference for us. And I just want to thank all the teachers. We're getting down to Christmas break. We're almost there, and they can have a couple weeks off and then start in again on a new year. So thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Brenda?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Acatown. I got to go to the Acatown school and be around the children there. It was really awesome. They have an awesome teacher out there. I tell you, Karen Ravenscroft does an awesome job. I'm really proud of her. I got to go spend time in the Sandpoint school when I was over there last month, and I just had a tremendous time. There was all the way from the little kids to the high school kids were all so welcoming and so much fun. The staff, some of the staff I'd never met before, so that was really, really nice. So thank you very much. King Cove, as always, is tremendous. You can come in here as long as I don't interrupt a class. I get to say hello to everybody and have a little visit and grab some hugs along the way. So thank you to them. And I tell you, with all three schools I was able to visit in the last month, it's tremendous, the excitement yet and the enthusiasm and the support of all their staff and the teachers. Everyone is just, it's just amazing this year. I say that every year, I'm sorry, but every year seems like better than last year. And it really is. Oh, good Lord, I got to go to state cross country. That was the most amazing thing in the world. I'm really sad I don't get to go to volleyball, but I'll be there for basketball.
All right, thank you. Harlan?
Rita?
Yep, I got nothing. Thank you.
Just to reiterate everything that you guys said, congratulations to the Eagles on going to state. Definitely exciting. I wish I was staying out to go and watch them play, but definitely very exciting time. And happy holidays to everybody, and just keep doing the good work that we love hearing. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks. Carla?
Nothing except for, glad our girls did a great job, and thankful for Michael for getting them there and working them and all the sportsmanship that all of our teams have had. It's been great.
All right, thanks. Yeah, same thing. Congratulations to our girls and the all tourney team. I think that's awesome when we have people who get to get those honors. And I hope everybody enjoys their Christmas break and you guys get all relaxed and ready to jump into the new year. So that we can just finish off strong. That's the goal. We're going to finish off strong. But that's all I have. Thank you. Do we have agenda items for next meeting? BC 6145 needs to go on there for first reading.
Okay, we also have the Winter Boardsmanship Academy essay contest for the legislative fly-in, but that'll be finished by then. Staff evaluation process review, curriculum update, if there is one, teacher contracts and admin contracts, policy review. I think that's it.
And our next meeting is the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
So... January 23rd. Tuesday, right? The fourth Tuesday?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, the 23rd. Will be the next.
Oh,
wow. I might not come.
Some rum balls with that one.
Is anyone going to that December? Or was it December?
Yeah, this December 7th. It's next week.
Oh.
The equity, I think, and law. Is it?
December 7th and 8th, yeah.
It's next week.
Okay. So January 23rd,
and
we'll celebrate Hillary's birthday.
And then we're going to go over the essays during the break, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we'll just email.
Yeah.
And then she'll tally, and mm-hmm. we can like
do a poll or something.
Right. We can just ratify that during the regular meeting after. Mm-hmm. Is that all we have? That
That's all that's on the list, and I think, yeah.
Does calendar go on there yet?
Not yet, but I guess we could start thinking about it. It might be a good idea.
It seems like we need extra time on the calendar all the time, mm-hmm. so.
Can start working on it anyway.
We can start talking about that. Get that out of the way when it's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah.
And that way.
Mm-hmm. And then what did we decide? What month was our superintendent evaluation? Was it February?
That's February.
Okay.
Okay.
Other than that, we can add as we need to if things come up. So January 23rd is the next meeting.
Maybe we could put the cameras and sound system and stuff on that time.
Well, that'll be on the workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cameras and sound system, have that on the workshop agenda.
Sound system. Then okay.
Action item on the of what we need.
I don't know if we'd be able to take action already on it. It just depends what information we have. It could go.
Wasn't he going to tell us what?
Yeah, it could go either way. For. It could go either way, but we can always change an action item to an information item, correct?
Mm-hmm. So make it an action
we'll
item,
make
and then
it
change
just
it.
In case, and then we'll change it to information okay. if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
At least it gives us the option. Okay. So next on the agenda is the executive session. It's a superintendent self-evaluation. And I would entertain a motion to enter into executive session, including superintendent.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session, inviting our superintendent.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Harlan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. We will go into executive session. If you guys aren't back when we come back, thanks for attending.
Oh, I'm gonna ask you then, since you went into the galley. I saw how do you say like
we stay here and she go there since there's nobody here.
Oh, sorry. Just speaking.
Let me make sure. Okay.
No, because doesn't she leave this on this regular
meeting? Because people don't, can log in at any time in here. Yeah, so Austin's got a laptop set up, I think, in Mike's office.
Okay.